Welcome to the Cheyenne Vineyard Podcast, bringing you a message of hope for your everyday world. If you'd like to contact us at info@CheyenneVineyard.com. You can also find out more information about the Cheyenne Vineyard Church at CheyenneVineyard.com. Thank you and enjoy today's podcast.
If you're kind of new here or you're visiting, just so you know, it is okay to have fun in church. So, if you were wondering, I'm not sure. you know, we're in this series where we're looking at what it looks like for God to develop a culture of honor among us, and what that looks like, because most of our culture is really not doing well in the area of honor. It's kind of a forgotten thing. But this morning, I have an opportunity to honor somebody. And lots of family and some friends came over to Laramie yesterday to witness honor in practice. The military still understands honor, and they practice honor. So Luke, would you come up here? Most of you know this is my son Luke, and he is a brand new graduate of UW and second lieutenant in the U.S. Army. Yeah. Bless you, son. Love you. See, honor can be something as simple as that. Recognizing achievement, recognizing milestones. You know, we've tried to have a culture of honor in our home for a long time, and I think we're understanding more and more of what that looks like as we get older. You know, we could be great parents if we had the wisdom that we have when we're old, when we had kids. But, you know, there's a reason for that. Because wisdom and honor come with a price. You know, sometimes God just gives and downloads great revelation and wisdom and anointing, and we know we can't earn the things of the kingdom of heaven, but yet we receive many of those things through difficulty, through pain, through effort, even though they're not earned. I think you kind of get what I'm trying to say. It's like the story of the young pastor talking to the old pastor, and the young pastor says, "Man, where did you get all that wisdom?" And the old pastor, or my mind is not entirely in sync with my body today, because my body is a little bit out of sync today. So the young pastor says to the old pastor, "Where did you get all that wisdom?" And the old pastor says, "Well, pain." And the young pastor looks kind of funny at the old pastor, and he says, "Pain? Well, where'd you get the pain?" And the old pastor says, "From lack of wisdom." I think that kind of sums up what I was trying to say. There are things that we receive through our mistakes that we otherwise would not have. So we've already honored the mothers this morning. Now, if you had a mother, I'd like you to stand. Please poke those who were not paying attention, because right now you all should be standing, actually, because as far as I know, everyone had a mother. So what I would like you to do, if your mother is here, you can bless her right now. But if she's not here, I want you to pray, and we can all do this at the same time, and just ask God to bless your mom. Whether or not she's here, I'm going to ask you to do this even whether or not you feel like it today, okay? So let's do that. Bless you, Mom. Okay, when you're done, you can be seated at this point. I didn't want any moms to miss out on that. So, you know, whether or not you understand it or not, you just obeyed one of the Ten Commandments. And it's one of the Ten Commandments that we're actually going to look at today. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." And, you know, as I said earlier, it would be great if we had all this wisdom that we accumulate through life when we became parents. But it just doesn't happen that way. And as a result, we all have had imperfect parents. And if you're a parent here, you've been an imperfect parent, whether you realize it or not. You know, as we follow God, we try to do well. And if we try to apply His wisdom in our parenting, there's blessing for that. But we know that we have all fallen short. But the Lord, He doesn't give us an out in this. You know, there's no unless clause in this commandment. And sometimes we wish there was. Sometimes maybe we act as though there was, but there isn't. And, you know, we're coming to understand a little more about God's law, how it's not a set of rules, it's an invitation into more of God's blessing and coming under more of His covering. So the more that we do these things that He tells us to do, and the more we're able to avoid those things that He tells us not to do, the more blessing and favor flows into our lives. And again, it's not that we're earning it, it's just the natural way God designed things to work. Because he had an order of things, and He had a way that He wanted life to go for us as created human beings. And the closer we get to that, then the closer we can get to all the blessing that He wanted to pour out on us, his created people who bear his image. And that's a great thing for those of us who have been walking with the Lord and have come into his favor and receive his blessing. You know, it becomes such a precious thing in our lives that we just don't want to miss out on it. So today, like I said, I want to look at honor in our homes and kind of what that looks like, because I really felt like Mother's Day was a really appropriate day to start looking at what honor looks like in our homes. Because it's not that God just wants us to honor one another within the body of Christ, and yes, he does want us to do that, but he wants it to be just part of who we are, that we just honor people because we've been so honored and blessed by God that we just want to let it flow through us. And that's how he wants it to be. So, when I think about mothers, they're the way God wants mothers to be, and the way he naturally wired them, they reflect so much of how we are supposed to be as followers of Jesus. Because as followers of Jesus, once we're born again and we start to obey the Lord and follow him, we realize that our life is no longer about us. It's really about other people. And moms, it kind of has to be that way when you become a mom, doesn't it? I mean, if it's not that way, there are a lot of things that just aren't going to work. Because these little babies who come into the world, they can't take care of themselves. And they have needs, and they let you know when they have needs. And they let you know louder if the need goes unmet. Right? And so, you know, being a mother is a lot like the picture of what a follower of Jesus is supposed to be. You know, if we are a follower of Jesus and we've not stepped into serving others, then we've not progressed very far. And I really think that one truth explains a lot of what is wrong in our country right now. And because a lot of what made our country great for a really long time was that we had people who were followers of Jesus who just gave their energy and gave their time to serve others and to make each community better. And as we, the people of America, Christians and not, we've believed the marketing campaigns. You deserve it. And just pursue the American dream and you'll be happy. And I think the body of Christ, to a large extent, has gotten too busy pursuing the American dream to worry, to even see what's wrong in our communities and to do something about it. And if our country's going to turn, I think that's how it's going to turn. is that people like you and me, who see little things in our communities that we can do something about, and we, being led by the Holy Spirit and even empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we do those things, then change happens a little bit at a time. And that's how we've gotten to where we are, is things have changed a little bit at a time, and they've not been getting better. So we got to turn this around somewhere. And so I think looking at moms as an example of what our lives could look like is maybe a good place to start. So who is God calling you to serve? Who's God calling you to help? Who needs help? What wrong in our city is God calling you to do something about? I don't know for all of you, but I know there's something for all of us. And if we will all just do it, then things will start to change. And Gary, I really appreciated your testimony yesterday, especially the 2 weeks, 2 months, and 2 years word that the Lord gave you. And the Lord just showed Gary in such an amazing way that he was still at work in Gary's life as he went through some hard times a while back. And just without a question, he knew that God was still with him. And we all need a vision from the Lord for us to do something bigger than ourselves that will motivate us and keep us going. You know, Proverbs says something about that. Where there's no prophetic revelation, the people perish. Or another translation, where there's no prophetic revelation or prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. They say, well, it just doesn't really matter how I live or what I do, because, you know, we're all just evolved from amoeba anyway, and we're all just going to die, and then that's the end. Well, that's not the truth. But that's how a lot of people in our culture think. And so we need some kind of vision from the Lord of our purpose, of the reason why we're here on this planet. And sometimes, as in the case of motherhood, it's just plopped in your lap. Okay, I guess I better do this. More often, when it's the calling of God, it's a little bit more mysterious than that, a little bit less clear. And that's why we're in community together, so we can help each other find our place, and we can help each other stay strong in the battle and the fight, and we can keep going. Because there is blessing to staying in the fight and keeping going. So, you know, I almost never teach on what you should do. Have you noticed that? God just doesn't want me to teach that way. And that's about half of the message I had today was about practical ways that you can obey that sixth or fifth commandment about honoring your father and your mother. And so I don't really feel like I'm supposed to go there. Sorry. But if you want to see my notes later so you have some ideas, you can do that. But there's this one aspect of being a mother that is it's really central to us developing a culture of honor. And I think that's what the Lord really wants me to focus on today. And it is how mothers can see children with hope and vision, even when the kids can't see it for themselves. It's like something that God hardwired into mothers for their own children, that they can see what's possible for their kids, and they just have this deep desire to see their kids be that and do that and go on and overcome and succeed. And that is how we, as members of the body of Christ, are to see one another. Graham Cook calls this seeing people in a present future way. That you know, we can see where people are, but we're not consumed with their present condition. We can see by the Spirit where God is taking them, and we can speak that as mothers do and fathers, and help one another through difficult and hard times, and even sharing celebration through great times. But we can help each other get where God is taking us. And there's such an amazing passage in Isaiah 49 where God speaks of himself in this way. And I just hope I can communicate some of what I understand about this passage, because I read it for a long time and it made a little bit of sense, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense. And now it's making a lot more sense as I see that this is what God is saying about himself, and he's speaking about his people, Israel, who are a mess. They are disobedient. They are in captivity in Babylon. They have been so disobedient and warned so many times and failed to heed the warnings that they're sent off to captivity. And you know, often we think that that's a picture of God being really mad at them and in his anger sending them for punishment, when the reality is something different than that. It's the loving correction of a loving father who's desiring to see his kids turn and come back to him. And he's just letting them reap what they've sown. And for us, when we live our lives by choice, outside of God's covering, those are the kind of seeds that we're sowing. Bad seeds that we don't want to harvest. So this is the context that Isaiah is speaking into in Isaiah 49 when he writes these verses. And we're going to start with Isaiah 49:13. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. See, that's not the heart of a God who is sending people away in anger for punishment. This is a God with a heart of love toward his people who's saying, I will comfort you and I will have compassion on you. But Zion has said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. And then the Lord replies. The Lord replies about himself. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, even if a mother would forget, I will not forget you. And then we have this beautiful prophetic picture of Jesus. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. The beauty of this is that in looking at Israel, and that means in looking at the church, and that means in looking at you and me, God can see things that are not as though they are. Let me paint that a little, add a little more color to that. He can see the good plans that he has for you and for me and say, that is the reality. That's where I'm taking you. And that is what I choose to see. Because, see, their walls, there weren't any walls. Jerusalem was in rubble. And they're in captivity. And the Lord says, see, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. I can't possibly forget forever. When I see my hands, I'm going to see you. And your walls are ever before me. That's what I see. Those walls that are in ruins right now. But I know those walls are going to, you're going to rebuild those walls. Because I'm going to send Ezra and Nehemiah, and I'm going to give you Cyrus to fund this whole reconstruction project, and you're going to do it. And in Revelation, Jesus comes back for a bride who has prepared herself. We got to see this. This is how God sees you. He's not choosing to see us in our failures and our brokenness. And make no mistake, he knows it all. Okay, it's not that he's ignorant. But he's saying, I will have compassion. I will comfort my afflicted ones. Just like a mother couldn't possibly forget about the baby nursing upon her, I am not going to forget you. Yeah, that's what I said. That's good. How good is God? He's that good. That he's choosing not to see our lack and our failures. But he's inviting us into rebuilding the walls. And the best is yet to come. Amen? Yeah. So, last night I was about this close to calling Randy and saying, you better be ready tomorrow, because so the way that God sees us in this unquenchable optimism is the way we're to see each other. Yeah. But now there's a flip side to this also. And it has to do with how we see God. And, you know, I've talked in the last few weeks about how this culture of honor thing, it really begins with us honoring God and thinking rightly about Him, about what He's really like. And we have come to the conclusion that He is way better than we thought. And not only that, he is way better than we could possibly think. Now, the flip side of this, how we're supposed to view each other, like I said, is how we're supposed to view God. Because we tend to see God based on the things that we want Him to do that we're not seeing Him do. Am I right? We've all got some pretty important things that in our view of our own life, that if God would just do these things, that, man, we could really get somewhere. And for much of our life, I think, we have this mistaken view of God that maybe he's really good for other people, but for me, he's just a little too busy. Or maybe he's using up most of his goodness on other people, so there's not quite enough left for me to do everything that needs to be done. And as a result, we tend to see him in an inaccurate way. And in the challenge for us today, okay, I wish I had figured out a really good way to communicate this to you, but I didn't. And when this hit me last night, I thought, wow, this is bigger than the last one. Because as we are supposed to see each other by not focusing on the problems of where we're at, but seeing with eyes empowered by the Spirit of God to the good things that God has for each other. And where he's taking us. We have to change our view of God so that our thinking to him is no longer clouded by what we think he is not doing for us. Let me say that again, if I can get it out. We need to think differently about God by not letting what we think he is not doing on our behalf cloud our image of him. Because our vision is so limited. If we could actually see all the ways that God was working on our behalf every day, I know it would blow us away. Because our vision tends to be so short. But he's looking at the end. In fact, he's looking from the end. And he really does have it all figured out. And he who began a good work in us is going to see it through to completion. Yeah. And you know, probably one of the best things that we can do to facilitate God having his way in our lives is this prayer that I've heard Kim pray a number of times. God, just take all the no out of me. All the no toward you, remove it from me. So that I can just let go of whatever I'm hanging on to and and fall back and know that you got me. This is a big deal here. I got to read you this statement of out of my notes about the truth that I've just been talking about. We must work to change our view toward God that is beneath and below what he actually is. We must work to see him as he actually is and behave according to that rather than how he seems to us today because of what is not happening or what we think is not happening in our limited view of reality. So we try to see in each other what is not as though it is. Right? And with God, we work to see what apparently is not as though it is. Do you see that? Because it is. In his case, it actually is. What we're not seeing actually is. He actually is doing it. What we think he's not doing, he's doing it. Because he loves us and he cares that much about us. These are two major steps toward a culture of honor. Yeah. So let me just read that little passage from Isaiah 49 again. And you can see yourself in there. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord will comfort his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But you have said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. But the Lord says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved, put your name in there, on the palm of my hands, your walls, your end are ever before me. So, Father, help us to see in each other those things that are not as though they are. And help us, Lord, to see in you those things that we're not seeing in our limited vision as though they are, because they truly are. I thank you for your great goodness toward us. That our names are engraved on the palms of your hands. And you see us with unrealistic optimism. So we bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. And Lord, bless all the moms here today. We thank you for them. We thank you for the truth of who you are that's wired into them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed day. Amen.